Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Okay, you guys, we are going to talk about magnesium and endurance sport performance today. Mm-hmm. But first, I wanted to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
What time do you wake up in the morning?
Oh my gosh, at this point in my life, like probably between 6:30 and 7 most days.
Nice.
I mean, I spent most of my life getting up like before 4 for training. And yeah. Those days have sailed. And I love not having to do that anymore. Yeah. And I also have a job now that allows me to do that. Why? What time do you get up?
You know, pretty much now, this is if I get to bed at a reasonable hour. And my bedtime's 8:30. It just, that's what time it is. I mean, that's what time I'm like settling in to like, I don't know, I fall asleep later, but I like to read. So I get up at 5:30 in the morning. And I think, you know, there's something about consistency of the time that you wake up versus like trying to, oh my God, there was one summer when I was in college and I worked at a hospital and I was on this flexible shift thing where like every 2 weeks it changed. And so sometimes I was on midnight, sometimes I was on day, sometimes I was on evening shift, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
It messed me up. So I'm really good at just, if I have that same routine, it's just easier to wake up if it's the same time every day. And I also have a little furry friend that wakes me up at 5:30 too.
Oh, Levi.
he's ready for his rubs, and his little tummy rubs, and his food, and his outside time.
Time for snacks.
So, it's funny because I feel like I have that like whole morning thing, and maybe that's a workout. Maybe I'm doing some, you know, behind the scenes work before going into the clinic or doing whatever else I'm going to do that day. So I feel like I have like two separate days.
Yeah.
Every day is like two different days. Like there's the Thursday morning shift for Amy, and then there's the afternoon evening shift for Amy, and they're like, they feel like two whole days.
Well, I used to feel like before I understood what was required when actually taking care of oneself, I did think that I could pack two lives into one if I just didn't sleep. So I'd get up at like, you know, before 4 a.m. and then go to bed at God knows. And so it was like, I'm getting two lives in one with this.
Yeah. That only lasts for so long. But there are people who can do that. There are people who can do that. And I'm so jealous of that.
I mean,
because the productivity has got to be for people that can truly, truly get, you know, do more on less sleep, but I'm not one of those people.
I have some thoughts on that, but for another day. Go ahead.
Yes. That's another topic. Mm. A full episode topic. So let's talk about, so what happened is I had a patient reach out, endurance athlete, cyclist / runner. And he was like, do you guys have any episodes on supplements? And I was like, oh, I feel like we've talked about a little bit about that in the recovery. We just kind of threw out a couple of different things. So then I texted him back and I was like, actually, we don't have an episode dedicated to that. And he's like, oh, I really think you should. And I was asking him, well, specifically, what supplement are you right now concerned about? Like, what are you thinking? And he said, well, he was getting a bunch of social media ads for magnesium. And he said it also had shown up in a couple of like articles at maybe Runner's World or something like that. Something like that. So it's a topic that's obviously floating around out there. So I, you know, did a little bit of, diving into magnesium and what it does for us. As physical therapists, we've been, you know, recommending our patients take that for a long time now because it's, you know, injured people who are either low on magnesium or not getting enough magnesium need it because it's an essential block, a building block of, you know, muscle, connective tissue, and bone especially. So anytime I was dealing with a stress fracture or bone bruise or like shin splints, for example, stress reaction stuff, magnesium is one of those things that, you know, let's take this supplement to help with the healing. And right now there's somebody I know who's taking magnesium. You want to tell what you're taking it?
I did.
Why are you taking it?
Well, I did fracture my foot, so I'm taking magnesium with calcium supplement. And my understanding is that the magnesium sort of helps the calcium absorb better. And so you take them together.
Yes, correct. And magnesium itself is a building block for bone repair. So it has, it's a double whammy there. So that's really, really important to help you with that repair. Go ahead.
Well, just on the mental health side of things, magnesium is known for like sort of helping calm things down and relax muscles and that sort of thing. I'm sure you'll get into
it's
that.
It's a mood. I'm not going to address that. So that would be fun to do other things that magnesium helps with, but it is a mood stabilizer. Yeah. It helps with that and with migraines. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that magnesium does for our body. We're going to today focus in on the endurance sport part of it. So, you know, what is magnesium? It's a mineral. And it does several things. Again, we're going to just keep it into the endurance sport realm here. But just remember, we've talked about this on our recovery episodes, is that when we're training, we are breaking down on purpose so that we can become stronger in the end. That's part of the training process. And we need to recover from that. And magnesium is going to help us build up our durability for the sport by helping us with that remodeling and building up of muscle in the first place, but also in recovery and remodeling. So first of all, it helps us with performance in that magnesium is known for regulating our muscle function and our nerve function. So this isn't even about like building up and repairing muscle. It's about the actual function of it. So obviously, we understand how the muscles work to help us with our sport. But sometimes people lose track of the fact that the nerves are telling our muscles what to do in the kind of refinement of our swim form, bike form, run form, and our efficiency with the sport or with the movements for those sports. And the nerves are really important for that. So muscle and nerve function, magnesium is helping us with those things. We've already talked about how it's an essential building block to make protein and bone. So again, helping us to build our muscle and bone durability. It helps with recovery, like I've already mentioned, and it does another thing, and it prevents muscle cramps. So if you have somebody, now those would be muscle cramps induced by lack of magnesium, right? But we do lose, and we'll talk about this in a second, we do lose 20% of our magnesium with an endurance sport. And so if we're not replenishing that, if we don't have enough access to that, muscle cramps can be the result of that or one of the signs and symptoms of it. So if you're one of those people that's suffering from those and you're wondering what's causing it, check in on your magnesium levels. And then the other thing, which I did not know and discovered in my research, was that magnesium provides fuel for energy production. So it's like it's part of the gasoline for our sport. So if we don't have enough magnesium, we're not having that, an important component for us to produce energy for our sport. So that's five, you know, things that magnesium is doing for us as an endurance athlete. So it definitely is important. Let's talk about the signs and symptoms of having low magnesium level. So we already talked about the muscle cramps. So that's one of them. How about tight and sore muscles? Who has that? Raise your hand.
Wait, what? All we have to do is take magnesium, people.
There's all the signs and symptoms that I'm going to list can be caused by other things, but knowing that we lose 20% of our magnesium just doing our sport makes you want to kind of think about if you're lacking in that mineral, let's put that on board to help us with this. Yeah, what you're going to say.
Well, I think that's an interesting point because a lot of, like, you know, I think especially as endurance athletes or if you're somebody that's health conscious or you're having a problem and you're trying to troubleshoot, I mean, most of us, you probably know what you're doing, but I speak for the majority of us. Like, we get on the internet and we use like the Googles and we're like, and so we research all this stuff. And I do think that a lot of symptoms are like similar from like deficiency to deficiency. You know, like you can't, like the magnesium deficiency may have a lot of crossover with a lot of other deficiencies. And I know both from personal experience and from talking to athletes, you can go down a wormhole and start chasing the deficiency to figure out what you're supposed to be taking. And before you know it, you may end up with like 15 different supplements because you're trying to chase like the perfect answer to whatever your problem is. But actually many of us don't like have not been someplace to have like blood work done. We don't know what the actual problem is, and we certainly don't know necessarily what we should be taking to correct that. Also keeping in mind that like sometimes in order to absorb what you're taking, I mean, it has to be bioavailable, and so it does. Yes. You do have to maybe take it with something else. The form that you're taking it in, you know, and food is always going to be a better answer than a pill.
Yep.
So I just think it's interesting as you're going to go down these list of symptoms to remember that for all of us, like there are like so many times the list of symptoms can be the same for so many different things, and that yes. chasing that is like chasing your own tail sometimes.
Yeah,
so just be careful with
that. And we would love
that.
To have a simple answer. Like, it's the shoe.
I would.
Or
I'd try
it's
it.
The, it's just this magic mm-hmm. pill.
Yeah.
But, and also going around and getting a ton of blood tests and stuff, those, you know, are dependent on when you had the blood yeah. test done, all these things. Today, what I think is a good take-home message is when you're seeing all these social media posts and these yeah. ads and everything that, yes, magnesium is beneficial for your performance in endurance sport. We do lose it and we do need it. So it won't hurt for you to track how much magnesium you're taking. Like, and we'll talk about that with the food, for example. And so again, if you're having these symptoms, there could be a multitude of different reasons for it. It could just be like, guess what? Tight and sore muscles. That's just part of training. Uh-huh. And if you're doing the adequate recovery, you're going to be fine. But magnesium, lack of magnesium or decreased levels of magnesium might be one of the contributing factors. That heavy leg feeling, especially thinking about having used that up for energy production when we don't then have enough to help us with that cycle and that production of energy, that's a heavy leg feeling. Fatigue, hello. Who doesn't have that? I mean, exactly like you were saying, like that could be an iron deficiency. That could be so many different things. Impaired recovery. So it is another, again, a list of things that many different causes. But if you're finding that you're having difficulty, you're trying to do all the right things and you're doing all the right things, and I'm taking the recovery days that we're told, you know, I was told to take and all this stuff. If you're having an issue with that, maybe track your magnesium. See how much you're getting in. And then actually difficulty sleeping. So
yeah.
There's that, have you ever seen that powder? It's like
Calm.
It sprouts Calm, and it does have calcium mm-hmm. and magnesium in it. So it actually can help and aid.
And the brand is called Calm.
Yeah, just the brand FYI. Is Calm, but it is just magnesium.
It's like a hot tea.
Powder. Yeah. Yeah, you can mix it in with, you know, I was just putting it with like a little bit of water and just chugging it down. But in my discoveries, I found that it also, low magnesium levels can be caused by a variety of different things, like people with Crohn's disease or like more like diarrhea, like just kind of a gut that is like that, as well as taking acid reducers because that affects your ability to absorb magnesium. So you have less around. So another kind of thing to think about. But magnesium is also helping with restless leg syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So guess who has restless leg syndrome?
Do you?
No, my hubby.
Oh.
So and he takes acid reducers. I know he won't mind us talking about that.
Hopefully.
Will you, hon? Just skip that part. Maybe we'll edit that out. But guess who got magnesium supplements ordered for?
Oh my God.
They're on their way. But anyway, it does help us with, you know, sleep. And of course, if you have restless leg syndrome, that's going to make it difficult to sleep too. All right. So again, all these symptoms and signs can be triggered by other things, but consider the magnesium level could be a cause, and then maybe track how much you're getting in with your diet and know that you're losing some. So I came across two research studies that I think you guys will enjoy hearing about that kind of backs up what we're saying here. So one of the articles or research studies was studying magnesium in sport. It's a 20 2022 study in the Journal of Strengthening and Conditioning, and the title is The Effects of Magnesium Supplementation on Muscle Soreness and Performance. And we will have a link in the show notes for both the studies that we're going to refer to here in case you guys want to, you know, get geeky and read the studies and see all the graphs and everything. But what they did in this study was they tested college-aged women and men, and it was this bench press activity. I'm not going to go into all the details of what exactly was done. It was a double-blind study, so each of the two groups, one was a group that was treated with magnesium and one was a group that was treated with a placebo. But both groups performed three sessions, a baseline with no treatment, a post-treatment session, and then a performance session that occurred 48 hours later. They had statistically significant results for the athletes that were treated with the magnesium versus the placebo. And here's what they found. They found that the rating of their delayed onset muscle soreness feeling was less in the magnesium group from, like, you know, their baseline. The performance during that performance session, that third session, improved in the magnesium treated group. Again, all these were significant differences. The rate of perceived exertion during the activity was less for the magnesium group. And again, I'm thinking like it's that energy production part of the magnesium. And then the perceived recovery was improved in the magnesium group. So, performance and recovery enhancement. Who doesn't need that for endurance sport? So then there was another study published in 2019 in a journal called Nutrients. And they analyzed the effects of magnesium supplementation in preventing muscle damage. And this was with some professional cyclists that were taking part in like a 21-day cycling race. So intense endurance.
And I assume that was probably men.
Activity.
Since it doesn't specify men and women.
This was for men.
Yeah.
But the results indicated that magnesium supplementation, we're going to talk about this recommended daily allowance number versus what the National Institute of Health recommends. So there's a difference between the two. And the results for this study indicated that magnesium supplementation exceeding the recommended daily allowance had a modest effect in maintaining the integrity of the muscles. So, and whether that was adequate levels of magnesium intake from diet or combined with supplements. So it just permitted improved muscle recovery from an intense and strenuous exercise. So again, this was statistically significant. And of note, the amount that was used in the study for men was 400 milligrams, which is above what the RDA recommends, but within what the National Institute of Health recommends.
So for men.
For men. And we're going to talk about what numbers men and women should have. But they found a statistical difference. And I think that's important to where it's like, well, maybe what's being recommended by the RDA, it's may not be enough for even the sedentary individual, but especially when you're considering that we're losing it when we're exercising at in endurance sport. Okay, so again, both of those studies will have the links in our show notes. So, as you were mentioning earlier, Liz, you were like, well, how do we take in the magnesium? And obviously, the preferable source is always going to be food. And so let's talk about what's the food that naturally contains magnesium. And that would be whole grains, spinach, quinoa, almonds, black beans, and avocados. So, I mean, hopefully those are all things we've mentioned in the past for anti-inflammatory type, you know, foods to be taking in. And then also our milks, our yogurts, and other milk products. So also listed on here were fortified breakfast cereals and other fortified foods. I mean,
sure.
I feel like there's enough. Hopefully we're getting a good quantity in. But just like we said in our protein podcast or a protein episode, it might not be a bad idea to just track it for a little while and see with what your normal dietary habits are, you, how much magnesium are you getting? Mm-hmm. And are you replenishing it with your, with sport, you know, after sport activities, which with those of us training for triathlon, and we're, you know, it's almost a daily occurrence, right?
Well, and I do think that, you know, I've, as you track things and you see packages that say good source of such and such, if you actually flip it over and look, that is, you need to look at the numbers.
Yeah. Don't just assume on there. Yeah. That's a really good point. So how much should we be taking in? Let's talk about that. I was going to talk about that a little bit later, but right now the National Institute for Health recommends that women take 310 to 320 milligrams daily. And for men, it's that 400 to 420 milligrams daily. And so say you're tracking this and you're like, God, you know, with the food I'm taking in, I'm not really reaching that number. Ways to supplement, and it's, you know, the supplements aren't super expensive. It's not like you're buying into this crazy, weird.
Magnesium doesn't tend to be too bad.
Yeah. And there's pill and powder supplement forms. There's about three forms that are more bioavailable, but magnesium citrate is one of the ones that's significantly more bioavailable, but it can upset your tummy. And so if you're one of those people, if you try it and you're like, ooh, this is kind of upsetting my tummy, you want to take it with, you know, fiber, with food. But magnesium gluconate is a form that is bioavailable that's maybe, you know, better for more sensitive tummies. So that's just, if you're one of those people, you might just want to start with that one.
Mm-hmm. And that would be an interesting podcast sometime, because I feel like there's a lot of supplements that offer those two different types of, like, forms of a supplement. It would be interesting to do a podcast on the difference between, like, I can never remember the names, but the
magnesium gluconate, magnesium citrate.
But that's also true in like other supplements where they offer those types, and I don't know the difference.
Yeah. And sometimes, and that might be a good one for us to bring on a guest speaker too, mm-hmm. to talk about. Like, for example, the one I ordered for Hubs has multiple different ones in it, mm-hmm. so that we're, you know, kind of covering cross bases, but they were all forms of magnesium.
Okay. You can cut that other part out. I just feel like at some point it'd be really interesting to talk about that.
I think so too. Or what do you guys know? Maybe you already know. Okay, so another way to get magnesium into our bodies is a little bit more controversial, because there's not a lot of research to show us exactly how much is being absorbed through our skin. And how it's being, our skin is a really good barrier, thank goodness, right? But what it does is it means, like, well, how much of this topical cream or spray or patch are we getting?
Did you know our skin is our largest organ?
Yes.
That's my fun fact. I love knowing that.
The integumentary system. But, oh my God, you're just so cute today. No, it is, because people, I don't think they realize that it's an organ. It's classified as an organ. That's a really good point. But we have these hair follicles, and that can be a great way for it can be an entry point for us. I have a funny story about my neighbor.
Oh, God.
Because I think, it was like he shaved his back. We won't say his name, but he did. He shaved his back before he went to Lake of the Ozarks. Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah. So did some of the organisms cross that barrier? Yes. And through those open hair follicles, you know, that, your eyes are wide open. So we do know that that is a way that things can, an entry point in the skin, and obviously any open cut or anything. But the question is, are any of these magnesium patches, creams, or sprays, or one of the things that I like to recommend for all my patients and athletes is the Epsom salt soak. Mm. And that's magnesium sulfate. That's a salt that you get to, you know, float in and soak in. And there have been some studies where they've tested serum level, like, oh, okay, after you put this on, how much of the magnesium was circulating in your blood? And it's like, there is some evidence that it does increase, but it's like, well, how much is it increasing? And the studies had so few participants, they need to do more research for us to be able to say, yes, this cream or patch is definitely helping, and here's how much you're absorbing. What I like to tell people is, I've had enough circumstantial evidence from patients and athletes who say, yes, the Epsom salts do help. And, you know, throw in 2 cups of it into your hot bath. The hot water is doing a lot for you. Mm-hmm. So if you just don't want to use the sulfates or the magnesium sulfates salts, that's fine. But if you want to try it and it makes you, you feel like it helps you, then it may be. And then that's great. Like, do it. But as far as investing in the more expensive creams and patches, I would nutrition first. Magnesium supplements and powders, we do know 100%. Yes, that is increasing your magnesium level. So those would be the first 2 spots to start. Any other thoughts or questions for this?
No, I mean, do you have any, it's overwhelming to look at supplements. I think, when I was recently purchasing my calcium magnesium supplement for my bone health, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, you just stand there and it's like, there's powders, there's pill form, there's the chelated. Is that how you say that? I always mess up that word.
Yeah.
And then glucosinate. Is that how you say that? I mean, I'm always, and so, you know, you stand there and it's like, and then there's some that have it there. It's just a lot. And so do you have in terms of powder versus pill, is there one that we know is more bioavailable, or so far it doesn't really matter?
I didn't come across any research to say one or the other. I would say, you know, take it with fiber. Was one thing that was definitely written about. I would say whatever works for you. Like, what's going to be most palatable for you? If you're not a big pill swallower and you would rather have a powder, do a powder. You know, I think it's really up to you on what you prefer, the method that you prefer. Yeah. And, to your point that it can be super overwhelming and it's like, oh, well, what brand and blah, blah, blah. I think
it's an unregulated industry. So that's like, it's not like it does not gone through the rigors. And so they can put a lot of stuff on labels and you also don't necessarily know what's in it. I mean, I find supplement discussions rather stressful because they're very expensive. They're promising, you know, all these miracles. And, you know, we go in and we're not really sure what we want, what we need. We're also really like driven and we really want to do what's good for our body. And so there's a real emotional component to getting a supplement. And it's easy to start spending a lot of money on things that, like, you don't necessarily know if you need them. And then, or maybe you do know you need them and you're not sure, like, is this bioavailable? Is this the dose that I need? Is what's in the supplement actually what's supposed to be in the supplement? Because if you do start reading some of the information about, like, things that are tested, you can just go down. It can be a little stressful.
Yes, and you're standing there in the aisle. So it's, like, I don't want to recommend one particular brand over the other. I happen to have an account. I'm not offering to buy anybody anything because that would be like a whole separate job. But I go through Claire Labs or Sci-Fi. I have a professional account there because there's some, you know, physical therapists and healthcare workers who, you know, sell supplements and then they mark them up and stuff. And I'm not interested in going, you know, down that. I know sometimes it's just convenient for people to have a good high quality medical grade company.
So wait, what's the name of your place that you order from?
I'll call it Claire Labs, KLAIRE, but it has a new name now, and I just, Sci-Fi, SCIFI, I think. I did it with, before they changed that name, that's what I remember, Claire. But anyways, you have to be a professional healthcare provider in order to have an account with them,
sure,
which is fine. But you'll see people, what I've noticed, and this is just so frustrating because it's down that same line when you start thinking about supplements is, you know, if you put in Claire Labs magnesium, someone who's reselling it at like a 500% up thing, you could find it.
Yeah.
So you might find some magnesium thing that, you know, I bought for $18 a bottle is being sold for, you know, $80 a bottle, which is ridiculous. And it's this whole markup thing. And there's practitioners who do that. And I mean, that's part of their business. And maybe they're not marking it up that extreme, right? They're getting it at their bulk discount. And then they're selling it for what, you know, a good market value would be for it. So I'm not saying they're all bad. But I'm not going to do that because that's just more work and management of stuff. And I've thought about it a couple times because, you know, I have Pilates balls in my, that you can buy at my, at the clinic and just some equipment it's faster and easier to get there. And it's just so helpful. And I don't mark it up. It's like whatever I paid for it plus shipping, that's the cost that goes to the patient, but it just makes it convenient for them.
Sure.
So I thought about doing that with the supplements, but it just, I'm not.
Well, because I think you have to, I think going to like a somebody whose job it is to give supplements, like who's like nutrition. We've got some great nutritionists in the area.
And they, a lot of times, will have accounts that you can purchase through them. So it, but you know, like that, like for example, that Calm brand, it's great and it doesn't have any added other stuff to it. So, you know, power to you guys for that search. don't go too crazy about it.
Yeah.
So in, let's do a little, my little recap here. Without a doubt, we know that magnesium is important for endurance athletes and it does aid us in performance and recovery. So I recommend just start tracking how much magnesium you're getting through your diet. And if you're noticing that you are, low on magnesium or becoming deficient and have some of these signs and symptoms that we talked about, you might consider taking the, National Institute of Health's recommended amount. And, you know, supplementing with some powders or pills. But for now, maybe don't rely on the patches and creams and don't rely on the soaks for getting you to the number, the recommended number or amount, because we actually don't know how much you're absorbing.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
we are in this together. Until next time.